Our news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Thursday, June 25. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, Chief Magistrate Candia Correa-George says late Magistrate Michael Bruni will be remembered as a great asset to the Magistrates Court and a brilliant attorney with an immense knowledge of the law. Antigua and Barbuda's Information Minister Melford Nicholas says no decision has been taken to implement a national lockdown as 39 new COVID-19 cases were confirmed this week. And record-breaking spike in new COVID-19 cases causes some U.S. states to pause reopenings, require face masks, or impose mandatory 14-day quarantine for anyone coming to the states from states with spikes. The details coming up. It is now confirmed that as of today, former chairman of CLICO in Barbados, Leroy Paris, a close ally of Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett, has been arrested in relation to an alleged fraudulent multi-million dollar payment and was charged by the Royal Barbados Police Force yesterday, Wednesday morning, 24th June 2020.
This is Stetson Bauer from Starcom Network News. We can confirm that the former chairman of CLICO Barbados, Leroy Paris, has been charged by the police. As you well know, Mr. Paris has been in custody for, I think, about 2 days now. Mr. Paris, the former chairman of CLICO, had been arrested. He was taken into custody by Barbados police as part of a fraud investigation concerning $3.3 million that was allegedly paid out of the company as legal fees and then allegedly transferred to another company. I just got confirmation from police officials. In fact, just a short while ago, their comment as I asked for an update on the Paris situation was Mr. Paris was charged and should be on his way to the District A Magistrates Court. So we can confirm the former chairman of CLICO Barbados, Leroy Paris, has been charged by the police in connection with the fraud investigation and should be on his way to court as we speak.
Q95 News has also received reports that Leroy Paris has been released on bail after the charges were read against on Wednesday. Q95 News will provide more details on the matter as soon as it is available. Speaking to the media on June 24 at a SAGICO virtual media briefing, Chief Financial Officer Andre Mousseau gave an update on the company's financial performance of 2019 and outlook for the year 2020. He said 2019 was a strong financial year for SAGICO with a group net income, excluding expenses, of US$147 million compared to 2018's group net income of US$103 million.
2019 was a very strong year financially for the Sagicor Group. Group net income, excluding transaction expenses, was $147 million U.S. compared to $103 million in 2018, the year in which our financials were affected by the restructuring of the government of Barbados debt. Net income attributable to shareholders, excluding transaction expenses, and this is kind of the primary metric that we measure ourselves against, was $87 million, and that compared to our publicly released target of $77 million. So we exceeded it by $10 million, and compared to, and it was also a large increase over the $36.5 million in 2018. This was driven by growth across all of our major operations. Our group revenue grew by 35% to $1.9 billion compared to $1.4 billion U.S. In the prior year. Growth was across every geographic segment and included growth in insurance premiums, net investment income, banking revenue, and fee income.
In his financial outlook for the year 2020, Andre says SAGICO was hit negatively by the advent of the COVID-19 crisis. However, SAGICO continues to sustain its assets and has recovered its losses due to the proactive actions taken by the executive.
So, We started off 2020 with good momentum, and then, like most companies across the globe, really, our first quarter of 2020 was overshadowed by the specter of the global pandemic. And as you'll hear from Mr. Ramaran, while the countries in which we operate were all affected, we took swift and decisive action. Not surprisingly, our first quarter financial results were negatively impacted by these events. And the negative impact really came from the very sharp decline in asset prices and the increased premium on risk that was observed in the financial markets just in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the quarter ending March. The net result of that was net income to shareholders of a loss of $29 million U.S. But our estimate is that absent the effect of the mark-to-market losses on our assets and the increased provisions for expected credit losses and write-off of intangibles related to some of these issues, our estimate is that our normalized net income for the quarter to shareholders would have been $18 million compared to $15 million in the year before. So, from a business operations point of view, outside of the mark-to-market of assets, et cetera, it was a healthy quarter. Now, fortunately, much of the asset value decline that was observed in March has recovered in the second quarter of this year as financial markets have broadly recovered around the globe. However, the environment in particular for new business generation remains uncertain for the rest of the year as our economies are still not back at full normal operations, and it's not predictable as to when those new operations or normal operations will resume. So while we expect that the outcome of 2020 will be well within the boundaries of internal stress scenarios that we've run.
He expects that Sagicor's net aggregate will be affected as the weeks go by due to the pandemic, but he says due to the significant amount of cash and liquidity obtained and new anchor shareholders in 2019, Sagicor is in a strong position to fully maintain its operations considering the challenges ahead.
We know that our net aggregate net income for 2020 will be affected, and we expect it will not be as high as we would have targeted at the start of the year when we were coming off a very strong 2019. But on the back of the transaction that was consummated in December of 2019 and the addition of new anchor shareholders and a significant amount of cash and liquidity, Sagicor is in an exceptionally strong position to weather the current environment and resume its growth when new business activity resumes.
Sagicor's Chief Financial Officer. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett says Dominica has tried to facilitate the Haitian community on the island. However, he has called out those who are not law-abiding. He says though many of the Haitians in Dominica are hardworking and contribute to the economy, there are some who place the island in difficult situations due to their illegal departures from the island shores.
They are brothers and sisters. They are our CARICOM brothers and sisters as well. We have quite a number of them here. Many of them are engaged in constructive activities that are all aiding the economy of Dominica. They're providing labor in a number of sectors of the economy, and we appreciate their presence in Dominica. And we welcome them to our country and to be part of the Dominican community. The vast majority of them are law-abiding citizens. They respect the laws of Dominica, our constitution. But you will also agree that there are some who engage in activities that place Dominica in some difficulty, especially those who leave our shores illegally and go into Guadeloupe and Martinique and Saint Martin. That is something that I would like the Haitian community to assist us in eliminating. I think if we can eliminate this, it places a greater level of trust and confidence of us further facilitating our Haitian brothers and sisters in Dominica. So I think if we can address this issue, my brother, then one could maybe get longer term work permits rather than the shorter term work permits which they're currently getting.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Chief Magistrate Candia Corret-George says the Dominica Magistrates Court mourns the passing of a dear magistrate, colleague and friend, Attorney Michael Bruni. Bruni was a sitting magistrate whom she says was a great asset to the Magistrates Court. She says he was a brilliant attorney with an immense knowledge of the law.
The news of his passing has indeed left our hearts very heavy. On behalf of all magistrates and the entire staff of the Magistrates Court, I wish to extend our deepest sympathy to the family and friends of the late Michael Bruni. May the good Lord grant us strength in this difficult time.
Chief Magistrate Candia Corret-George, herbalist and holistic life advocate Ras Bobby, calls for the removal of all laws related to cannabis, alluding to the racist foundation of the laws attributed to cannabis as a result of white ignorance. Ras Bobby says the current legislation or legalization is a form of punishment for herbs in the Nature Isle, and this needs to change from the ground up. He was speaking on the Global View on Q on Tuesday evening, hosted by Sheridan Gregoire.
You know, and so let us realize that we have a great opportunity. So we have a great opportunity, but first and foremost, we have to change things on the ground. You're talking about decriminalization, which is like partial punishment for the use of cannabis in Nature Island. Now, as a herbalist, the elder in the St. Thomas Bingy House tell me all I want them to do is to remove all laws relating to cannabis. The laws that wasn't there before and that come about as a result of racism. We want them to remove those laws. Because even places like America, you cannot bring forth a law as a result of racism. And those white men, their argument at the time is when the white woman uses cannabis, she wants the black man. And it caused all black people's stomach to turn over, and they use that logic to bring forth a law that is just totally contrary to what this great plant really is.
Meanwhile, he says we have to take the level of global competition into consideration when entering into the cannabis industry, and we must use our soil as an advantage. He's of the view that within the global economy and wide cannabis market, we have to take into consideration the multitude of products that can be manufactured from cannabis plants.
Okay, so we have to consider the multi-products that can be made with CBD, and we also have to recognize that we have to compete with a lot of CBD producers around the world. But because we are a tropical country, we are available to, it is possible for us to produce cannabis all year round. And with the volcanic soil that we have, especially on the west coast of the island, this cannabis can be used to brand the best cannabis in the world or to compete with the best cannabis producers in the world. And then
herbalist Ras Bobby. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says the COVID-19 challenge calls for citizens to have greater belief in themselves, and that notwithstanding, residents can overcome any challenges and create a better way of life for themselves. He says it is left for persons to look at the difficult period and appreciate the opportunities that the time has brought forth.
And so it is not time for us to complain as people or to lose faith in ourselves and the God that we serve. It is a time for us to have a renewed sense of faith and confidence in ourselves that notwithstanding these challenges, if we work together, if we complain less, we can make things happen. Because it is always easy for people to complain, but how many are prepared to work to make life better for yourself and for your fellow men? And so the challenge is up to us. Because COVID-19 has impacted every one of us as Hurricane Maria did. And we must understand that unless we work together, it makes it much more difficult for us to overcome our challenges. And I find in this country, we spend just too much time on negativism. It's almost becoming part of our DNA in this country to be negative and to criticize. But how much more constructive and beneficial it would be if we see a problem and we try to fix it ourselves. Or we help those who are seeking to fix it.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt. Leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Kent Vital, speaks on some of the reasons why the youth may have lost interest in agriculture. He contends that a key reason is cultural change. Vital says we have lost a culture of hard work and smart work over the past 20 years, and this poses a challenge because the interest may be there, but the hard work required to be done could be deterrent. He added that the level of financial returns and job security can play a pivotal role because the future of agriculture rests with the youth.
We have lost the culture and the know-how of hard work and smart work. And over the last 20 years, somehow, because of the depression that agriculture went through, our young people no longer see those examples, have those examples, have that culture, and that has been a challenge. People, and as Zed put it, you know, they could be interested, but they just don't want the hard work. And then there is the low returns. There was a time when we had better returns in agriculture, when the banana industry was booming. But people are maybe looking at the low returns and they are saying, can I survive on that? And therefore, that interest in agriculture is not there because they're not seeing high returns. And of course, as we said, there's the issue of job security. So I've really listed 5 reasons. Now, the thing is, when you do strategic planning, you try to understand the reasoning. So if one of your issues to develop agriculture is that you need the involvement of the youth, you need people to continue with the industry, the question is, why are they not interested? And if you can answer that question properly, then you begin to look at the strategies. What are the solutions? How do we solve those?
DfP leader Kent Vital. In other news, Antigua and Barbuda's Information Minister Melford Nicholas says no decision has been taken to implement a national lockdown as 39 new COVID-19 cases were confirmed this week. The minister told a news conference yesterday that since the news of the new imported cases, he has been bombarded with questions about the possibility of a lockdown. He said the cabinet would have discussed this matter and has taken no decision with regards to the shutdown of the country. Nicholas said, we believe the protocols that are in place are sufficient to lead this kind of capture. What we can say is that more resources are on the way. In an earlier interview, Prime Minister Gaston Brown said he would shut down the country if there is evidence of community spread. 18 of the 39 new cases are returning nationals who entered Antigua by air over the last few days. These nationals are now quarantined and isolated at the government facility at Hawkesville Hotel and will not be released into the community until they test negative. None of these persons have been hospitalized. Presently, there is no one hospitalized in Antigua and Barbuda with COVID, and none of the new cases require hospitalization, according to the authorities. And a sudden surge of new coronavirus cases has prompted some states to consider slowing down reopenings, requiring face coverings, or in the case of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, imposing a mandatory 14-day quarantine for anyone coming into their states from other states seeing a spike. Meanwhile, many of the new cases seem to be coming from younger people who are not suffering serious symptoms, but have the potential to become spreaders of the virus, Manuel Borges reports.
Since the outbreak began, more than 38,000 across the country. In some places, it's worse right now than it's ever been. The 3 most populous states, that's California, Texas, and Florida, all broke their own records for the most cases reported in a single day. Think about that for a second. And the CDC predicts nearly 30,000 more Americans could die by mid-July. Manuel Borges is in Homestead, Florida. Manny, how is Florida handling this spike? It's not good.
It is not good. Several state and local jurisdictions are pushing ahead with mandatory mask orders and enforcement of social distancing rules. Hospital capacity is also a concern. Homestead Hospital behind me reached capacity on Tuesday. Officials say some beds have now opened up again, but hospitals across the area are prepared to add additional units if necessary.
I think we had COVID on the ropes. You know, we were doing very well. And it's making a comeback.
So. Dr. Sergio Segarra is the chief medical officer of Miami's Baptist Hospital. He says he's seen a significant increase of coronavirus patients in the last few days, mostly walk-in cases.
These are community-acquired COVID infections as opposed to nursing homes.
Florida was one of five states reporting record high increases in coronavirus cases on Wednesday. Another was California, where more than 7,000 people tested positive. Rises in hospitalizations and rates of infection prompted Governor Gavin Newsom to warn that a rollback of the state's reopening is not out of the question. As cases rise in the South and West, the one-time epicenter of the outbreak is taking precautions.
People coming in from states that have a high infection rate must quarantine for 14 days.
The governors of New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey warned those in violation of the rule would face a fine of up to $10,000. Their list of states includes Texas.
There is a massive outbreak of COVID-19 across the state of Texas.
Governor Greg Abbott said certain parts of his state could face new restrictions after seeing more than 10,000 new cases in 2 days.
The situations in the hospitals continues to worsen.
In Houston, hospitals are at 97% capacity, and statewide hospitalizations rose 57% in the last week. Several states, including Texas, are reporting large increases in cases among young people as bars and restaurants reopen.
I understood the chance I was taking going out, and obviously now I'm paying that price.
21-year-old Adriana Carter says she and her friends caught the virus after a night out in San Marcos, Texas. She says while she was being careful, many others were not.
We're trying to figure out a new normal. And I hadn't gone out since the bars reopened. Yeah. It just so happened that the one night out I did, I did contract coronavirus.
And another reminder that the young are still very much at risk from this disease. 17-year-old Carson Davis, a high school student in Fort Myers, Florida, was airlifted to a hospital Monday and passed away the very next day from complications of COVID-19.
And that's the midday news. First, a recap of the headlines. Chief Magistrate Candia Corret-George says late Magistrate Michael Bruni will be remembered as a great asset to the Magistrate's Court. Antigua and Barbuda's Information Minister says no decision has been taken to implement a national lockdown as 39 new COVID-19 cases were confirmed this week. And record-breaking spike in new COVID-19 cases causes some U.S. states to pause reopenings. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.